In the mid-70s, Richard Hell was an originator of the New York punk music scene. With Tom Verlaine, he co-founded the band Television. He later sang and wrote songs for his own band, Richard Hell and the Voidoids. He also co-starred in Susan Seidelman's film, Smithereens, which is about a young woman who desperately wants to break into the punk scene. Hell first came to New York with the ambition of living the poet's life. He ran away from his home in Kentucky when he was 16. Some of his early poems were published in the New Directions Annual Review. Hell retired from music in 1984 and returned to writing poetry. Now he's programming the regular poetry readings at the St. Mark's Poetry Project in New York, and he's put together a literary review called Cuz, due out soon. When Richard Hell abandoned music, he left behind a song that many considered a punk anthem, Blank Generation.
I always really loved music, you know, and I had regular kids' fantasies of that's the perfect life, where you write your own ticket and you're given license to be depraved and follow your every whim, you know. And I was getting real frustrated with what was going on in my life as a writer. I felt like I was doing this exquisite work, and nobody cared, you know, nobody even noticed, nobody reads. And so I decided I would, you know, I'd be able to do all the same things in rock and roll that I could do as a writer. I mean, after all, words are used. And, you know, be able to get some response, you know, be able to be heard.
When you started performing, you were really in some of the first bands in what came to be known as New York New Wave or punk music. Did you see yourself as being the kind of beginnings of something new in rock music? Did you think at the time that this was the beginning of something?
Oh, absolutely. I knew it was. You know, the first band I was in, me and Tom started, was Television. And that was in 1974, and we wanted to reinvent rock and roll, return it to where it really came from. At that time, it was, you know, the music you heard was this. You heard stadium heavy metal, and the really unbearable saccharine. Goo of groups like Yes and you know, I can't even remember. It was a horrible period there in the early 70s. We wanted to do urban slum music, you know. I kind of thought of myself as a modern folk musician because, you know, we were from the barnyard slums of the decaying cities, you know. And I conceived of the band as conveying our message in every from every angle, you know, the way we looked, the way we gave interviews, and all of it was had to be seamless.
Well, one of the things that you started doing was
I cut my hair real short and ragged, and I wore the torn up clothes that were all I could afford, and all, you know. And
but that ended up becoming a style. Did that really make you laugh and seem very absurd? When
no,
torn clothes
kind of,
became
I just
a big
kind
fashion
of,
statement?
Well, I kind of learned something from it, you know, that's all.
What'd you learn?
Well, just that everything gets appropriated by the media, you know, because within a few years I saw in the windows of Macy's torn T-shirts with safety pins through them, you know. And second of all, that is kind of futile. It's worth doing, but it's actually kind of futile to try to lead people not to have leaders. Because, you know, it's kind of puts them in an impossible position, because they want to show that's their attitude too. And to do that, the only thing they can dream up is to do what you're doing.
You came to rock performance with a lot of energy and kind of commitment, but without a kind of real singer's voice. After you perform for a while, do you run the risk of either getting really polished or getting really frustrated with not being, a technical musician?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I wish I could sing, you know. I really wish I could sing.
I should say here, I really like your singing a lot.
Well, thanks, but you're right. It did get frustrating after a while. In fact, you know, now and then I would try to do some real singer song, and I never could, because I just don't have an ear. But I think I did all right for myself.
What did you eventually get out of music and return to poetry?
I've always thought of myself as a writer, you know. It never changed. I just never made any effort to publish anything once I started doing rock and roll. You know, now and then I'd get an offer and I'd go along with it, but I never, you know, pursued it. And I always thought of looking into acting, because there's something exciting about acting, too. Acting is a kind of spiritual path of its own. But then I realized I'm not cut out for that either. I tried taking a class in acting, and I ended up almost getting arrested for assault.
Why?
Well, we were doing this exercise in class where one person is supposed to kind of annoy the other person. And the teacher I had was kind of this, his teaching method was this sort of boot camp style, you know. He tried to tear everybody down in order to rebuild them, you know, the way they do in the Marines. And I really don't respond very well to that kind of treatment. But I was doing my best, because I thought, you know, I'll give this guy the benefit of the doubt, you know, because I want to learn. And he set up this exercise where literally one person is supposed to keep preventing the other person from finishing what they're doing. He decided to use me for an example, and he came up himself to play the part of the person who was trying to annoy me. And he made this gesture which just snapped me, and I threw him against the wall and ripped his shirt off. And the guy's really bigger than me. He could have torn me apart. And he yelled at me for about a half an hour. But he let me stay in class.
I guess poetry's a lot safer than acting is for you.
It made me realize in acting, you have to be willing to show everything about yourself. You know, you have to really just strip yourself down to where you're a walking nerve. And you don't hesitate to exhibit your most shameful impulses. And I can't do that. I can do it on a page in my room, and I like to. But not in public with people looking at me.
Do you think that the poems you're writing now are influenced by the rock music that you've written and sung?
Not at all. It's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was writing long before I ever started doing rock music.
What about the way you read poems now? Is the way you read poems influenced at all by the way you used to perform when you sang?
No.
Uh-huh.
No, they're entirely different. Okay. You haven't heard me read, right?
No, but I'm about to.
Yeah.
Okay, read Biting the Thought.
Biting the thought, sucking it back like spaghetti, entrails, infinitesimal verbal lies. The thought, the lines followed backwards and backwards to the doorway of a tiny cottage. God's in the forest cutting wood. But the table in the immaculate room is set. Upon the shining plate there lies a little morsel of conception. But I've lost my appetite. Devoid of appetite, I don't have any appetite anymore. God comes back. Not hungry, eh? No, sir. That gets a big laugh. People start clapping and standing up, giving me a hand. I'm very grateful. They're wonderful, though I don't understand it. I'm clapping, too. And we start kissing. The kissing gets serious.
Richard Hell reading his poem, Biting the Thought.